morning. Great to be here. Hallelujah. I take this wonderful morning to welcome all of us again in this time of School of Healing. And it's a great joy to be here on behalf of the church, on behalf of Brother Matthew and the speaker. I want to take this time to welcome all of us in the wonderful name of Jesus. And it's a great day to be living in. It's a day where God is doing great things. And I believe this morning we are here to be prepared for the great things that God has in store for us.
Amen.
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 And I would encourage you to open your heart, get ready to receive, put away every preconceived ideas, and let God take over.
Amen.
Amen. This wonderful morning. So with a tone, I want to say welcome, 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 welcome again to Nosori. And also to our speaker here today, we want to say welcome to Nosori. It's a joy to have you guys here coming and running a School of Healing. It's a joy to be able to partner with you and to host this meeting here today. So without further ado, I'll give this time over to Brother Matthew as he comes to share more about to us about our speaker.
Thank you so much, and also I thank you for coming today. A seminar is a bit different than a church service, because a seminar is when Jesus comes close to you and trains you for your ministry. And we know that Jesus had the big crowds, the multitudes, but who could he really train for his ministry? And I know that there was a group of 70 or 72, and then there was the group of the 12. And then Jesus Christ had his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. And it's because they were being trained to be these leaders. And in one sense, today, you're being trained. Jesus is coming close to you. He's picked you. He's called you. I just want to quickly mention how I first met John Ferguson before I call him to come up here to share. And I was at the time doing gospel crusades here in Fiji for evangelist Bill Sabritsky. And we actually ended up doing one just over, which direction is the park? Rutan Dukumbo Park, just over there. But sometime, it must have been around that time, I think I just got a simple email mentioning that John, he was doing ministry in Nepal, and it mentions that he was a crusade organizer for Reinhard Bonnke. And immediately I jumped, wow, that's organizing the massive crusades. And he wanted to meet up with me at a cafe to discuss ministry in Nepal. So that's how I first met him, in a cafe, and he brought me a cup of coffee. And we had a chat about ministry in Nepal. And then just since that time, I've kept in contact. But how I see it is there's such a depth of experience in both John and his wife. And she can be a little bit shy at sharing, but there's such a depth also in her. And I want that depth of ministry, that depth of experience, that depth of releasing the healing power of Jesus. So that's why I invited John to come. And with that, I welcome John Ferguson.
Thank you so much. It's a real joy to be here. And I know that this is God's plan, because when we started doing ministry in Nepal, I just said, no, we're going to focus on that nation. We're not going anywhere else. And then, but when Matthew invited us to come here, I felt something in my spirit and said, no, you need to go to Fiji. And so, therefore, this has to be God's moment and God's time. And so I'm very excited by what we have seen so far, and very excited about today. So just a couple of practical things. First of all, has everyone got a book? We were handing out books. I want to make sure everyone has one of these. Because what we want to do this morning normally takes 3 days. And so I will only be able to touch on a few points this morning. And so therefore, please, I want to encourage you to take the book home and study it carefully. If you're not sure, I want to encourage you, it's full of scriptures from beginning to end. I'm a Bible man, I love the Bible, and I will only share with you what I have discovered in the Bible. And I hope you're Bible people also, because if not, then we don't have anything in common. But if we're Bible people, then we have a lot to share. Now, why I'm excited is because so much of what I have been taught over the years is different from what I find in the scriptures. And so I want us this morning to go back to the scriptures and actually see what they say. And I think we will be amazed at some of the things that we see in scripture today. So are you excited by that?
Yes.
I'm excited. I love to teach this. We've been teaching schools of healing now for about 15 years and probably trained over 100,000 people. So God is good. And we've probably seen a similar number of people healed, actually, in these meetings. So, first of all, I'm going to ask you to be very un-Fijian and come and sit in the front rows and not the back rows. And I'm going to wait for you until you have moved. So if you stay in your back row, I'm not going to speak. So please come and, I know they always say if you want the back seat in the church, you should come early. Yeah, thank you, bless you. And while you're moving, introduce yourself to the person next to you, because we're going to be together for a few hours, we may as well be friendly. Yes, my wife Bron and I worked for Reinhard Bonnke full-time for 7 years, traveling around the world, organizing big meetings. And Reinhard Bonnke, many of you will know, has a huge ministry, literally millions of people coming together in one meeting. We've seen 1.5 million people in one meeting, covering 70 blocks of ground. I mean, huge. And he would always preach the gospel, then he would make an altar call, then he would make a big general prayer for the sick, because with 1.5 million people, you can't lay hands on everyone, that's impossible. So he would make a general prayer, and then after that, he would invite the people to come who had been healed to come up onto the platform to testify. And we watched literally thousands of people being healed of everything you can imagine. Blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, crippled people waving their crutches, waving wheelchairs. We saw all of that happening. Very, very exciting. And these people would come to the front and they would come onto the platform. But the problem was, at least half of the people who would come were not yet healed, and they just wanted somebody to pray for them. And one of my jobs was to sort out the ones who were healed and let them go on the platform so they could testify, but the ones who wanted prayer, we would pray for. So over many, many years, we in that situation, we prayed for hundreds of people. And I saw almost none of them healed. So if you've prayed for hundreds of people and none of them are healed, what is happening in your mind? You are thinking, it works for Reinhard Bonnke, but it does not work for John Ferguson. And that then was my mindset. That was my thought. I thought, well, Bonnke is anointed. He's the man. He's the big man of God. When he prays, people get healed. When John Ferguson prays, nobody gets healed. And then I was doing some ministry of our own after we left his ministry. We were doing crusades in India. And one day, God said to me, I want you to do schools of healing. Now, remember my experience. I said, excuse me, God, have you got the right person? I pray for hundreds of people, nothing happens. And so God doesn't answer those kind of questions. I went and bought all the books I could find on healing. I read books after books, and I didn't learn very much because everyone has a different theology, and I was just even more confused. Then one day we went to a meeting, and the man said that he had a very similar experience to me. God, he prayed for hundreds of people, nothing happened, and then God told him to start healing the sick, and he discovered in scripture some things that I never knew, and he started to share these things, and I was going, oh, that's amazing. And then he said, if we do what God has told us to do, he will do what he promised to do. And so he said, immediately he started to see about 30% or 40% of the people he was praying for get healed. So I, at this stage, began to get very excited because I thought, this is what I need. And he said, it's very simple. All you need to do is go back to the Bible and study all of the healings and miracles in the Bible and actually see what happened. See what Jesus did and ask the question why. So that's what I did. And it actually didn't take too long. I mean, there are many miracles and healings, and that's very exciting, but you go back and study and you say, Jesus did this. Why did Jesus do that? Then when he comes to a different person, he did something different. Why did he do something different for this one than for this one? What was he doing? Was he doing what we do? And generally the answer is no. So that's when I began to get very interested, and I thought, okay. And so we started teaching schools of healing. And I can promise you, the first school of healing, I was very afraid. I thought nothing was going to happen. And the Lord prompted me to invite people to come forward who had headaches. Well, I thought I could manage with headaches. Actually, I can't even heal a headache. So, you know, so here were 13 people lined up on the platform, and they all had headaches. And so I lay my hands on the first one, hoping something's going to happen. And she said, oh, my pain is gone. And I said, really? Are you sure? And so I went to the next one, and she said, oh, yes, I'm healed. Really? Oh, this is good. And I went, all 13 who came were all healed by the grace of God. So after that, we began to see more and more amazing things happen. And now we've seen wonderful, literally wonderful miracles in these schools. Almost all the miracles happen under the hands of you, not me. And this is really what I want to encourage us today. I'm an ex-farmer, and you already tell from my accent I'm English. I'm a farmer, so I know how to milk cows and drive tractors. That's what I am. But so I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not some super Reinhard Bonnke anointed person. I'm just an ordinary person, but by God's grace, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and that makes all the difference. Wave to me if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, there is power in the house. Hallelujah. So, we minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is when we expect to see results. So first of all, I want to turn to chapter 1 in your book. Then I'm going to actually introduce a little more that's not in your book, which I've only recently discovered. But we will begin with chapter 1. And so if you want to follow in scripture, I said we would spend a lot of time in the Bible, and that's where I like to be. Go to Luke chapter 10. And I like this passage of scripture. Luke 10 is one of my favorite scriptures. It teaches us so much. But the one verse I want to pick up is verse 9. So Luke chapter 10. Look at the beginning of Luke chapter 10. It says this: after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town or place where he was about to go. So that's telling us that these are not the big men. These are not the 12 apostles. These are just the 72 ordinary people who were willing to give up a Saturday morning to learn how to heal the sick. Just the ordinary people. Turn to your neighbor and say, that includes you. And that includes me. These are the 72 ordinary ones, not the big men. Okay? And now look what it says in verse 9. Jesus says to them, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So they go into, he sends them to the villages, the places where he was going to go, and he says to them, heal the sick. Now, what does this first thing tell us? Now, this is a seminar. Now, in a seminar, I'm not going to stand and talk for 3 hours. I'm going to get us all involved. Is that okay? And because that's how we learn. I'm a practical man. I believe in learning by doing. So we're going to practice and practice and practice. So by the end of the morning, you're going to be ready to go because you've done it a few times. Is that good? So what does this first thing tell us? Jesus says to them, heal the sick. Is that a command or a suggestion?
Command.
A command. Ooh. Is it for you or for them?
Everyone.
Does this apply to us?
Yes.
Yes. So does that mean that Jesus is commanding you to heal the sick?
Yes.
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 Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
If Jesus commands us to do something and we are not doing it, what is that?
Disobedience.
And disobedience is?
Sin.
Sin. Oh. So if you are not healing the sick, that is?
Sin.
Sin. Did you realize that?
No.
Oh. No, I didn't realize it either. But Jesus promises, tells us, he commands us to heal the sick. Here's another interesting question. Did he tell us to heal them or did he tell us to pray for them?
Heal.
Heal them. Actually, there's no way he tells us to pray for them. He just says, heal them. Hmm. Are you happy with that or is that a problem? For me, that's a big problem. I have ordinary hands, you know. I'm just an ordinary person. Jesus is telling me to do something I cannot do. But he knows that I cannot do it. That's the good news. And that is the whole point. He is commanding us to heal the sick, and he knows that we cannot do it. Don't you think that's strange? I can't heal a fly with a headache. I mean, John Ferguson cannot heal anybody. And then Jesus says to his disciples, that's you and me, heal the sick. This is where it gets a little bit sort of, oh, what's the solution? What's the answer? Well, I have found somewhere in scripture which is the answer. But first I just need to look at this a little bit more, this verse, because this tells us so much. Heal the sick who are there. Well, let's stop there. Heal the sick who are there. What does that mean? Imagine you are being told by Jesus to go into a village and heal the sick who are there. What does that include? Is that only the good ones? Or the bad ones as well? You know, there's some good people, and there's some, I don't know what you call them in Fiji and New Zealand, we call them rat bags. Some bad ones. Jesus is telling us to heal who?
All
of them. Oh dear. We want to heal the nice ones, but we don't want to heal the bad ones. I tell you a true story that happened in one of my early schools of healing. We'd finished the school and it was time to send the people to go out and practice in the surrounding village. And that's one of the things that we do, and I'm going to invite you also, if you feel brave enough, to do the same this afternoon, but we will see how we go. But it was raining like it was just been raining. But it was pouring with rain, a long rain. And the pastor, he said, "Oh, the people won't go out, it's raining." And I said, "Well, let's send them out and see what happens." So most of them went. Some did not go, but most of them went out. Two of the people went out and they found, lying in the gutter in the road, they found a drunk man. He was stone drunk, lying on the ground. And they went up to him and they laid hands on him in the name of Jesus and they commanded healing. And he sat up. And remember, it's pouring with rain. They are completely wet. And this man sits up in the gutter and he is sober. God has instantly healed him of his drunkenness. And then they explain, he wants to know what has happened, so they explain that this is Jesus has touched him, and they tell him about Jesus and they lead him to Christ, and he gives his life to Jesus there in the gutter. Then he gets up and they bring him back into the church to tell us, to testify what had happened. And they're all standing there dripping like they've been under a waterfall. And yet they got this man, this total drunk man, saved and healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wonderful. So these are the kinds of things that can happen when we step out in faith with and in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you want the same sort of thing to happen?
Amen.
You want that?
Amen.
Well, the key is to be brave and to be willing to go and try. They had to be brave and walk up to that man in the rain and lay hands on him. And that took courage. And so people say, "Oh, I haven't got your faith, Pastor." When Jesus went answered the disciples asked him about faith, he said, "You only need a mustard seed of faith. That's not the problem. The problem is courage." We need courage. We need courage. So Jesus is telling us to heal the sick who are there, the good ones and the bad ones. What else does this tell us? This tells us the sick who are there. Were there any diseases that Jesus told us, "Oh no, no, you cannot heal that one, it's too difficult"? The sick who are there, that would include the people with headaches, it would include the people who are crippled, that would include the people with only one leg, that would include the people with no eyes, that would include the people who have cancer, that would include the people who have BP problem. Any kind of sickness is included. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. One day a friend of mine, a New Zealand friend, he was working with Bonnke as a student in those days, and he was learning how to heal the sick, and there was a big line of people wanting healing, and so Bonnke sent him down to the far end of the line and said, "You go and start down there." And so he walks down, and when he's going down, he's thinking to himself, "I hope it's only a headache, I hope it's only a headache." And when he got to the end, there was a man standing there, and he had no eyes. And I don't mean he was blind, he literally had two holes instead of eyes, no eyes. And my friend was a good student, and he asked the man, "What would you like Jesus to do?" You know, it's not always the obvious thing that the people are asking for. And the man said, "I want my eyes, please." I can imagine how my friend was feeling. This was the first time he'd done this. I think he was very nervous. So he laid hands on this man's eyes. My friend said he felt them glowing under his hand. And after a few moments, his eyes popped open and he said, I can see. Isn't that good? Praise God. Last night we had a wonderful meeting in town, in Suva, and we called all the people forward who had bad backs, and we laid hands on them, and all of them were healed. And then we called those who had bad shoulders and laid hands on them, and all of them were healed. And then we called for all of those who had eye problems, and one after the other, they were all healed. Let's give praise to Jesus. There was one man who came, who was, he said he was completely blind, he could not see at all, and we laid hands on him, and God healed him, and he was seeing, and I put up my fingers, he could see how many fingers I had, and you could see the big smile on his face, he was so happy. Afterwards, when we were leaving, he was shaking my hand, said, thank you, thank you, thank you. He received his sight. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Isn't God good? Nothing is too hard for Jesus. You know, the problem that we face actually is we look at the size of the problem instead of looking at the size of Jesus. We come, we think, oh, maybe headache? Yeah, I'll pray for a headache. But somebody in a wheelchair, I think I'll get Pastor John to pray for him. What has happened? You're looking at the size of the problem. You're looking at the size of the mountain instead of looking at the size of Jesus. Jesus is bigger than any mountain. Amen. Doesn't matter. Headache, wheelchair, doesn't matter. It's all, you can't do any of it. It's all Him. Amen. So that's, we're already learning a lot just from this little verse. It's amazing, isn't it? And then it says here, and the, tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Healing is part of the kingdom of God. You cannot separate healing from the kingdom. If we are going to be in the kingdom of God, we should expect healing. And in fact, sometimes we see people healed just when they're walking in the meetings. It should be like that. Jesus Christ is the healer. We should expect people to come into the meeting, instantly get healed as they walk in. Last year, we did a school of healing in Nepal, and two of our team went to a village because one lady was paralyzed there. And when they got there, they found she was also blind. So they started off with the eyes, and they put the hands on her eyes. Her eyes were instantly healed, and she could see. She was very excited, and then she got up from her bed and started walking around the house. And she hadn't walked for 5 years. So then, the husband, he was not a believer, he was a Hindu, but he was also deaf. And so then he came and he said, pointed to his ear, and he said, can Jesus heal my ear? So they laid hands on his ear and he was healed. At that stage, he gave his life to Jesus. He was very excited. So this was good afternoon work. And that's what could happen if we went out this afternoon. Same thing, same kind of thing could happen. Then I was telling this story at the next school of healing. I find this amazing. There was a lady at the front. She was blind in her right eye. The doctor had told her only a few days before she would never see again from her right eye. And we laid hands on her, and in the name of Jesus, she was completely healed. And we were testing her, and she could read, closing her left eye, read with her right eye, no problem at all. She was very excited. And so she got up and told her story, and was telling people, oh, this is what Jesus did. And while she was telling her story, there was a man at the back, an old man. He was also blind in his right eye, and he was instantly healed. He got sight in his right eye just by listening to the story. No one was even praying for him or anything. God just healed him. Because Jesus is the healer. We should expect these things. We should expect these things to happen. Amen? So, I said I had found somewhere in Scripture where that answers this problem that we have. That, you know, Jesus tells us to do something which is impossible. So let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and I mention it here, it's also here in, in my book. But Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. And this simple little verse also teaches us a lot. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to share a little bit from this, and then we're going to practice. Is that okay? Because the Word of God says in Mark chapter 16, these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on sick people and they will get well. So that's what we're going to do. And it works. So Jesus is telling us to do something which is impossible. And this verse says, for nothing is impossible with God. Two things I want to show us from this scripture. The first is, it says nothing is impossible with God. You know, when I first read this, I thought it meant nothing is impossible for God. That is, God can do anything. We know God can do anything. He made the universe. He made the stars. God can do anything. That's not what it says. It says nothing is impossible with God, which means when we are with Him, nothing is impossible. Are you with God?
Yes.
Are you with Him?
Yes.
Are you with Him?
Yes.
Yes? It is a partnership. When we are with God, nothing is impossible. Something is going to happen because we are with God. Amen? It's a partnership. It's you and God. Me and God. You know, we can do what Jesus has told us to do, but He has to do what only He can do. But when we are with Him, that's no problem. If we're not with God, it can't happen. But you guys, you love Jesus, so you are with God. Amen. That's the first point. The second point is this. It says that nothing is impossible. I love this. What does that mean? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Nothing is impossible. When we are doing what Jesus has told us to do, nothing is impossible. What does that mean? It means it's impossible for nothing to happen. Do you get that? Do you see what it's saying? Nothing is impossible. When we are with God, something must happen. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, something must happen. Because nothing is impossible. Tell your neighbor. Say, tell your other neighbor. Nothing is impossible. Something must happen. Something must happen. Why? Because we are with God and we are doing what He's told us to do. He told us to heal the sick. He knows we can't heal the sick. So when we go out to heal the sick as though we can, knowing that we can't, then something must happen. Do you understand? Tell your neighbor again. Something must happen.
Something must happen.
I get excited by this. This is the scripture. I'm not making this up from... This is not John Ferguson. This is the Bible. Nothing is impossible, so something must happen. Okay, so are you ready to practice?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Alright. I already told you, what we're going to do is put into practice practice Mark chapter 16, and that's, if you have your Bible open, that's probably open at the same page, and it says this. I will read it. These signs, verse 17, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Do you see what it says? They will place their hands on sick people. The main way that Jesus healed the sick was laying hands. So are you ready to do that? Does it say in that scripture that we have to pray? Yes or no? What does it say we have to do? Lay hands. Amen? Do you believe the scripture? Do you agree with the scripture?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we'll put it into practice. And remember, something must happen when we lay hands in the name of Jesus. So let's stand to our feet. And I want us to mix up. Go and introduce yourself to someone you don't know. Mix up and take one partner. Take one partner. Two by two. Everyone, even the children, especially the children. Children, you are better at this than we adults, we grown-ups. Especially the children. Children, you can do this. Come on, Pastor. Yeah, come on, you too. You too, can come. You can put the camera down. We're going to do some healing. Put your right hand on your partner's left shoulder. Oh, that's confusing, isn't it? Right hand, put your right hand on your partner's left shoulder. Your right hand, look at my wife is doing this perfectly. So if your hands are crossed, you don't know your right or left.
Okay.
Right hand on their left shoulder. Now we're just fulfilling the words of scripture. We're laying hands on each other. Right? Now remember, we're doing this in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to open your eyes and look into their eyes with compassion. Compassion is important. We want to love the person. When we are healing the sick, we love them. Now you can put your hands down. Now I want you to ask your partner if they're feeling better. Because if you remember, something must happen. And ask them, maybe a pain has gone, or get them to do something that they could not do. So for example, if they had back pain, get them to bend. Or if they had head pain, get them to shake their head. Or check themselves out. Maybe our eyes have been healed, or your shoulder, or your foot has been healed. Just ask them, what has happened? So, what has happened? Who has been healed? Who is feeling better? One lady here? What happened to you, sister?
I was having pain at the back of my head. And when I look into her eyes, that pain is gone. Yes.
I was watching you earlier, thinking, oh, I think my sister has pain. I saw you earlier, and now it's gone. Praise God. Isn't that good? Who else has been healed? One of you healed? Bit of headache has gone? That's great, isn't it? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Yeah, what happened?
Sola, Jenny.
Amen.
Well done, sister. Well done. Praise God. That's Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, what happened?
Shoulder pain? Yeah, my shoulder pain is gone. Yes. I can lift any tools up like this. Yeah, and my hand will be tied.
Yeah,
it's all gone. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is good. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Quickly. Anyone else? Been healed? Okay, please be seated. I want to ask now, was that difficult to do? Do you think you could do that again? Yeah? If we were to go out this afternoon, 2 by 2, could you do that? It's not hard, is it? All we have to do is put our faith in the scriptures. That's really what we are doing, is putting our faith in the Word of God, which says that something must happen. And as we do that, something happens. If we go without any faith, then nothing happens. It's actually about faith in the Word of God. And God promises that if we go and do these things, it will happen. You will lay hands on sick people. It doesn't say they might get well. It doesn't say to have hope that they get well. It says they will get well. We lay hands on sick people and they will get well. Amen?
Amen.
We're simply putting our trust and faith in the Word of God. And this is the mistake that I was making for all of those years. What I was doing was, I was praying very hard. I was praying so hard. And nothing happened. I was hoping that something might happen. Then I discovered that no one is healed by hope. They are healed by faith. And faith is different from hope. Faith has to have hope to begin with, because it says in Scripture that faith is being sure of what we hope for. So we have to have something to hope for, which is healing, in order to have faith. But faith goes a step beyond hope. Hope thinks it might happen. Faith knows it will happen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? So when we go out and when we lay hands on sick people, something must happen. That's the Scripture. And God has commanded us to do it. And when we do what He told us to do, He will do what He promised to do. Amen. So, the first thing I want to encourage you is, look, we can do this anywhere. We can do this whenever we see a sick person. We can do this when we're in church. Why don't we? Actually, the churches, if you think about it, should be the healthiest places on earth. Some of you will know the story of a man called John G. Lake. He was an American missionary who went to Africa at the beginning of the last century. And he saw many great miracles in Africa. And then he went back to his town in Spokane in Washington State in the northwest of America. And he was saddened to see so many sick people. And then the Lord spoke to him about starting something he called the healing rooms. And so he started healing rooms and invited some friends and trained them. And they called sick people to come and receive healing. Over a space of 3 years, they saw 100,000 people healed in that town. The general hospital had to close because it had nothing to do. Because everyone was going to the healing rooms. And that was happening in America. In fact, the American statistics showed that it was the healthiest city in the whole of the United States at that time, in the 1920s. And if it can happen there, surely it can happen here.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
It just requires someone with some courage and some faith to step out and say, yeah, let's do this. Let's make it happen. Let's believe for Fiji to be the healthiest nation on earth.
Amen.
Wow, wouldn't that be something? Instead of us walking around saying, oh, we have such so many problems. Well, Jesus can fix it.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
So, one time I was, in fact, quite recently, I'll tell you this story. My wife and I were selling some furniture, and two people came that had bought the furniture online. And when they came out to the van, there was an older lady, maybe about 60, and there was a younger lady about 40. And the younger lady, about 40, was walking like this. And so I said, what happened to you? And she said, oh, it's my back. And I said to her, well, we do backs here. And she said, what do you mean? They were not believers. And I explained, and I told her about a man that I'd just seen grow 2 inches. I put my hand on his back, and he'd grown 2 inches. And I told her about that. She was looking a bit surprised. And then I said, yeah, we're Christians, and we see people healed when we lay hands on them. Can I lay hands on you? And she was a bit sort of shy, you know. She wasn't sure about this. So I said, oh, come on, we'll load the furniture, and then we'll see. So we put the furniture in the van for them, and then I said, come on. And she came up, and bravely let me lay my hands on her back. And within seconds, she was completely healed. And she was bending down. She was so excited. She said, I couldn't do that. And her mother, the older lady, was crying. She was so touched by what God had done. And then they went off in their van. You know, these were unbelievers. But it's just a question of offering that opportunity. And you could say any time, if someone has got a bad back, you could say, oh, well, Jesus fixes backs. That's all you need to say and see what happens. But we kind of wish high, aren't we? And another time I was in a queue waiting to check out of a hotel room, and the lady was there with her arm in a sling, and just while we were standing waiting to pass the time, I said, what happened to your arm? And she said, oh, I've got a frozen shoulder. I haven't been able to move my arm for 2 years. And I said, would you like me to pray for you? And she said, okay. So I put my hand on her shoulder, and again, in a few seconds, only just doing what we've just done. Did you notice we didn't pray? You see, we saw people healed. No prayer. And I put my hand on her shoulder, and we were still talking while my hand was on her shoulder. And then I said, now put your arm in the air. And she looked at me a bit. Well, she thought, I can't do that, you know. Anyway, she tried, and then her arm went right up like that. And she said, I haven't been able to do that for 2 years. And then we went out and checked out of the hotel. That was just a conversation that we had and went on. God has given us this privilege of being able to heal the sick. And it's you, us, all of us disciples, not just, you know, so often what happens is somebody is sick, oh, we better call the pastor. Well, what I'm going to say is, no. Don't trouble the pastor. When he's got a big enough job without healing all the sick people as well. So it's our job to heal the sick. Then get them all healed, and then we can bring them to the pastor. Yeah, pastor, you see this one? She was sick, but she's just been healed. Now she wants to come to Jesus, and she wants to come to church. Does that sound a better way?
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
I'm sure the pastor would agree. Praise God. Okay, I want to just, it was suggested that we take a few breaks just to refresh, so I'm going to take 5 minutes, if that's okay. And we'll just take a 5 minute break, and then I've got more interesting stuff to share with you. Okay.